Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 226, part 1, Cry Out for Deliverance. Today is Friday, December 23rd, 2011.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Yes, I said my three S's. Smile, star, strong. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA.
What? I'm doing the podcast.
Oh no. Where was I? Okay. I am coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Micro Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, maybe you're a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. There's a lot of food here. Don't be shy. What you need to bring is a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members. And bring extra bags. There's a lot of free bread outside. Okay. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where those of you who don't need food can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. All right. Scripture links. Yes. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find some scripture links there that Pastor Paul uses within his message. I have gone to a lot of trouble to go find those links for you so you can have a private Bible study on your own. So be sure to check those out. And the month of December. Okay, here's the lineup for the podcast. Four messages starting with In All Things, Consolation, Grower or Growee, Cry Out for Deliverance. And for New Year's, I'm going to give you January's just because I want to. Why is the name of the message? And why are we doing this podcast? Well, it's a lot of fun. And I hope you're getting something out of it, like the meaning of life. I want to end December with just a special little conversation between Danny Rose and Tina Vitale, one of my favorites. Here goes. Danny Rose. My rabbi, Rabbi Pearlstein, used to say, we're all guilty in the eyes of God. Tina Vitale. Do you believe in God? Danny Rose. No, but I'm guilty over it. Danny Rose. It's very important to be guilty. I'm guilty all the time, and I never did anything. For all you guilt-ridden people out there, listen to Pastor Paul's every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. God bless you, and have a great month of December. And keep your gifts under $50.
Today's tape is entitled, Cry Out for Deliverance. I think we are in a time of many trials. I think the body of Christ is being tried and it's being tested every day. And I think a lot of people right now are seeking a peace and a rest, some outside of God, and you know, you'll find none there. Psalm 77 and 1 and verse 1 and verse 20, verse 1 first, I cried unto God. And then verse 20, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I think this psalm then describes the condition of the child of God under very heavy depression of spirit. And I think we all have those times when we're depressed in our spirit. Sometimes we don't even know why. We just wake up and, man, we feel down. I was thinking this morning I should have a tape or a record that would start when the alarm goes off. Sort of a bugle call, sort of a, okay, let's get out of bed now, wipe that depression off your face and let's get going. Something that people couldn't get at, something that they couldn't turn off. And so this psalm, like I said, describes the condition of a very depressed spirit. He's under a very heavy load, bowed down. And yet, the saint at last gets the victory before this psalm is over. The clouds are removed and there's sunnier days. How many in here have had real cloudy days in their lives? And then all of a sudden, those clouds are removed. Sometimes you have to move out from underneath that cloud. Sometimes you are the cloud. You ever been around someone when they walk into a room, they're the cloud? There's a lot of people like that. They don't have their own way, and they want to do this, and they want to do that. And so it doesn't work out, and so they just walk around like a big, thick, dark cloud. You know someone like that? Maybe it's yourself. Maybe you've walked around like a thick, dark cloud, and your kids know. So here comes cloudy mom. Oh, she's ready to storm. Any minute there's a storm. She's real still. She's real quiet. She's got that dark look about her. Am I describing some of you? I'm describing myself also. The only thing is, I've become a better weatherman than some. I'm able to forecast those things before that they come upon me, that this depression of spirit. And even then it happens. Doesn't it? Sometimes you'll go to the medicine cabinet or you'll go to a shrink. Of course, they want to keep you, so they'll keep this cloud over the top of you. But anyway, here we have the psalmist under a very, very, very heavy load, bowed down. And like I said, we have these ups and we have these downs. We have these highs and we have these lows. We're like the weather, don't you see? Warm breezes or north winds, fair or cloudy. How are you feeling, huh? Fair. How are you feeling? Great. How you feeling? Man, nothing's going right. Some believers have all the spiritual weathers in 1 week. They're so changeable, I don't believe it. Monday, they're in Florida, and Tuesday, they're in the North Pole. From a swimsuit to a parka. I mean, they telegraph that message to you by the way they walk around. Cold, red hot. And somewhat excitable by nature, perhaps naturally. They take wing and fly. On Monday, they are an eagle, and they fly as high, soaring out of sight. But Tuesday, they are a very sore sight. Their wings are all bent, and their feathers are all bent, and their claws are all broken, and their beaks are all chipped and cracked. They say, man, where have you been? What's wrong with you? You were soaring just Monday, and now you're a sore sight. And so it can overcome them in an instant. They can leave church here and they can be so lifted up in their spirit. Walk out the door, get in the car, and then just hang down. Sometimes people like to be in that condition. How you doing? Put the coffee pot on, I'll tell you all about it. No, no thanks, I don't want coffee, I don't want to hear it. I have my own problems, and I've heard this same problem from you for the last 20 years. Don't you think it's time you do something about this evident problem that you have that keeps reoccurring all the time, and it's called self? Now, I know people on the radio right now are flicking them radios off like mad because maybe their husband might hear it. Say, ha ha, that's you. Aren't we good at pointing the fingers at others? Well, I have found that many times a great high flight is followed by a great fall. In my years of evangelizing, going out and talking to throngs of people, not like here on the north side where people fear to tread, have these great victories, you know, and you just walk out there, oh, you just feel so great, and you get back to the motel and you take off your shoes and you slump and you're in the dumps. I think that is a thorn so that we don't exalt ourselves. I think they are divine trials sent of God. And so sometimes when you're feeling that way, say, Lord, be with me, take me through this thing. It isn't everybody that understands your trial. You can't tell your children about your trials. They don't want to understand your trials. They don't want to understand your depression. All they know is they want a graham cracker and some milk, and now. And sometimes there's no one to confide in. Nobody. It's like you're all alone. You're all by yourself. And especially in the hyper-faith messages, because now everybody is so hyper-faith, they just say, you don't dare tell anybody you're having any depression. They say, where's your faith? And it's so unrealistic, I really don't believe it. Someone could have both of their legs chopped off, and one of the hyper-faith crowd would come up and say, where's your faith? Claim them legs back on your body. Get up. And this is not uncommon, I said, to even the seasoned Christians. We suffer dark experiences. Sometimes people help us too. Afflictions are called in the Bible. We attain and then we get into the rainy season again. We stand like proud peacocks 1 minute, And the next minute we're standing in the rain. We're all soaked and all of our pretty feathers are hanging down. We're dragging in the mud. And saying, "Oh God, what's this all about?" Isn't there a song like that? "What's it all about, Elfie?" That's someone crying out. That's someone asking a question, but to the wrong person. "What's it all about, Elfie?" But we as Christians have to cry out, "What's it all about, God?" We either feel God all over or we're wondering if we really knew him at all. Did I really know God at all? We're either surrounded by flowers or dunghills. It's either smell that, or do you smell that? Boy, did she ever raise a stink. Or isn't she a wonderful person? Some days we become either a flower garden or we're a dunghill around people. Boy, you must be having a bad day. Your disposition stinks. You see, because we're uphill and we're downhill all along the way to heaven. Isn't there a song like that? "Over hill, over dale, we will hit kingdom's trail." It's like the children of Israel. Our path to Canaan lies then through a wilderness, and you have to walk through that wilderness. And even though God's grace has caused that wilderness to bloom, it still has a lot of cactuses and sand traps and serpents to contend with. And after all, it's a wilderness. The world is by no means heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. Yes, heaven is a wonderful place. Huh? This is not heaven. It says the kingdom of God is within you. That's where you have to look for it. Don't look for it outside because it's not there. Don't look for it by a satisfying message because you're not going to get it to your flesh. It has to be to your spirit. A lot of times the messages I preach, people don't like. Their flesh crawls, likes to crawl right on out of here. But if you're really listening, your spirit will be fed because you'll know it's the truth. And the truth, the Bible says, will set you free. How many in here today and you listening on the radio want to be free? I do. It says, and the truth shall set you free. What's the truth about Pastor Paul? He's a sinner saved by grace. What's the truth about all of you listening to me today? You are sinners saved by grace. No more, no less. Oh yeah, but I have attained. I have met a spiritual. I'm my blocks are way up. Someone's going to tip them over. You'll get nervous about around your blocks and tip them over yourself. You'll be watching your own blocks so hard and so long you become self-centered, and there's nothing more miserable than a self-centered person. You want to get miserable? Think about yourself. Just sit down and think about yourself. Really, people don't like themselves that much. They never like the way they look. If they're tremendously handsome, they wish they were ugly so people wouldn't look at them. That's never been my problem, however. You hearing this? Neither their nose is too long or is too short, or their legs are too fat or too skinny, or something's wrong. And so they get self-centered and miserable and depressed. And like I said, this is not heaven at all. I mean, if you're looking for heaven down here, stop looking. You won't find it. It says, we that are in the body groan, being burdened. We look for eternal rest. We have something to go for. What are you going for? I am going for the very glimpses that I've received in my Christian walk. Glimpses. I said glimpses. of a heavenly rest. And when hell's fires are the hottest in my walk, that's when I, by faith, receive heavenly rest. And it's always there. Always there. And so today I will only be able to describe as deep as I have gone in my own personal experience to hell and back, if that's enough experience for you. Or would you like to see some of the scars, maybe? Sometimes people like to show their scars. And then this happened, and that happened, and then show their operation. See here? It's cut all the way up here. And then my knees, they were cut. And so, number one, the child of God may undergo great spiritual trials. Secondly, we shall ask you to consider the conduct of the child of God when in this condition, very different from that of a worldly man, I might add. Number three, we shall notice those springs of comfort which relieve the saints and that spirit that will relieve us also. We all need relief. How many in here at times say, oh my God, I need a relief? In the world, they say, I need a vacation. I need to get away. I got to escape. In the bumpers, it says, escape to Wisconsin. What for? I'm going to ask him, why is everybody escaping to Wisconsin? Oh, Muskegon. You know what's in Muskegon? A whole lot of people that are trying to escape, and they're bumping into each other. Right? Did you ever try to escape to the beaches in Florida? During the season, you get down there and there's not enough room. No, that's not the answer. And so, number one, a true child of God may undergo very deep mental and spiritual trials, not superficial trials. I'm not talking about that. And the Bible says they are common to man. Really, sometimes we have overwhelming trials. Gut floppers. Wheezy kneesers. Total depression. Did you suffer that last week, Jim, when you lost your kung fu fight? A little bit? Didn't it depress you? Thanks, Jim, for allowing me to use you. Don't kung fu me now. No, the Bible says these are very common to man. Nothing will befall you that is yet not common to man. Do you mean homosexuality is common to man? I most certainly do. It's common. Didn't say it was right. I said it was common. Do you mean murder is common? Yeah, it's common to man. A lot of you have thought murder. You didn't do it, but you thought about it. How many have thought about murdering somebody? Maybe we should compare ways. Maybe you were quicksand. Maybe a knifing. Maybe a shotgun, sawed off. Maybe you're running them over with a car because they beeped their horn too loud. How many are hearing this? Kind of revealing, isn't it? And so the psalmist's trial here is no light one. It was a great grief that came upon him. Well, there's people that have great griefs that come upon them. Sometimes they even say, oh, good grief. What's good about it? He's suffering a personal disease. How many know when you have grief, it's a personal thing. So personal. I know preachers that have grief because the message didn't go off just right. Someone snickered at it. You just get into a whole bunch of junk. You hear me, preacher? How many are hearing this message today? Or like at times there's a very deep affliction that comes upon your family. Someone you love very much. Sometimes that hurts the most. The 14th of this month will be 54 years old. I've had a little living. Keep your gifts under $50, please. I heard someone on the radio say, "Don't worry about that fella." But a very deep thing, I'm saying, in 54 years, there's someone that you've known, someone very dear to you, that's grieving, and you grieve with them. And this will cause you to be depressed in spirit and heavy in soul, just like the psalmist here. He describes it as a sore that ran all night and ceased not. He complained that his spirit was overwhelmed. Have you ever felt that way for yourself, or worse, for someone else, someone you love dearly? Your concern for them made you ache all night long. In the original Greek, it says, cried out all night long. Never then conclude also, I must add this, that when you lose your joy, that God has left you. That's not the case. Beware of living by your feelings. I have to minister. I have to interject that because right now there's a lot of people that are depressed all the time, love to be that way, wallow in it. And we need to bring them out of that. We need to shout them out. Like, what is that laundry detergent where you put it on there and you shout it out? What do they call that? Oh, shout it out. That's a good name for it. Sometimes we have to help people and we have to shout it out. Don't we? Maybe we should shout to ourselves sometimes. Snap out of it! Now, beware of living by your feelings. Oh, gee, I feel lousy today. I feel depressed today. I feel nervous today. How many in here have nervous fit days when they're just nervous? They don't know why. Nervous fit. I'll put my hand up. Put your hand up. Get deliberate. You just have nervous fits. Everything you do is nervousness. Huh? You go into the store, you're nervous. You get around people, you're nervous. You're edgy. Jumpy. I feel like you got bugs crawling all over your body. Maybe you have. Check that out first. Always check out the obvious, is what I'm trying to say. What's wrong with you? I don't know. I itch all over. Could be a nerve condition. Could be bugs. But you may have to cry out over and over and over and over in your walk, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Asaph repeats, even unto God, with a loud voice. Sometimes we need a loud voice. I have seen people in such fits of depression that you have to walk into the room. You get in the room and there's a cloud in there and it's just morbid in there. And they're sitting in there and they're just down, okay? Now, no one likes to admit this. A lot of people are into that. But they get into this very heavy depression. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're just sitting there and it's like, can I move my hands or can't I move my hands? How many have felt that way? It's called a catatonic state. And you just wonder, now I've been sitting here a long time, I wonder if I can really move. And so you sit there with him and it's quiet and it's hard to be with him. Because you don't know what they're thinking. You know what the very best thing you can do? Is ask him, what are you thinking about right now? Then have one hand on the door handle. Person in that state, you don't know what they're thinking about. A lot of times they don't know what they're thinking about. You hearing this? There's a lot of people just like that. I minister to a lot of them, and then they'll go down and act like everything is fine. They get into high praises, and they rock side by side with each other, peek to see who's there at the big spiritual meeting, and they look all over one eye and then the other, and oh my. They never really face the issue at all. They go to 9,000 seminars on how-tos. And never do it. Never. And so sometimes you have to get in there and you have to make a sound. It takes a sound to bring people out of it. Maybe you have to voice some of your complaints. Sit down and give all your complaints. And then this happened, I told that kid if he didn't straighten out and blah, blah, blah. And maybe they'll snap off and say, oh, shut up, will you? Time I walked into not St. Peter, but another institution. And I had to raise the man up and jump around the room with him. Oh, you say that's unorthodox preaching. Well, hey, it worked. Besides, I had to get going. So I just boosted him out of the chair and held him up. I learned from the nurse because she would get him out of bed like that. And I thought, well, that's what I got to do. I'll get him in a real tight like this, and I started jumping with him. At that time, I was a pretty good-sized guy. I was over 200 pounds. So we really shook that room up in there, you know what I mean? Now we started bouncing in there, and I just started talking. I'm bouncing with a guy, jumping with him all around the place. And we fell over on the floor and started laughing, and the guy came out of his depression. He hurt his head and he hurt his knee. But he wasn't depressed. Hey, whatever, go for the obvious. Right? I mean, if someone isn't jumping for joy, hey. Even unto God with a loud voice. And then it says, he gave ear to me. Sometimes you have to yell out to break that silence. Sometimes in the room when you're all by yourself, and maybe some of you old people above these dime stores and above these grocery stores and above these little places, and you're looking out of the window and you got a little wilted plant there with some old gray curtains and the faucet leaks and there's nobody there and you're non-existent to your kids. They want to forget that you were even born. You smell like an old person. And I know that hits people because a lot of times I've heard that. You ever go into the old people? They smell like old people. And so they're forgotten. Start talking to yourself. Well, they'll call you nuts, but at least you'll be happy. Call out to God. Break the silence. Start to pray for someone. Pray for those miserable children. Make them more miserable. Until I get so miserable, I have to come over and see you. If For between here and the gates of heaven, you're going to have to go around the weeping cross many a times. And it seems like if the Lord loves you more, it seems that way. If you're one of the favorites, it seems like he's always picking on you. Why is everybody always picking on me? And you'll have more trials than others. Never get stuck on a trial. Go on to the next one. In between your trial and another trial, there's a little bit of joy and some peace and so on like that. Before you enter another, you get built up so you can go into another one. Isn't that neat? Doesn't that keep you going? Isn't that the carrot for your face, donkey? Huh? And he gave ear to me. He heard me. And it seems like strange trials will come upon you. What's this all about? And what did I do to deserve this trial? Do nothing? They are mean to me. Strange trials seem like they come on you. Are you hearing this? Therefore, regard it not as though some strange thing had happened to you. They're going to happen to you. God, what's going to happen next? You ever asked yourself that question? What next? Don't ask. Some of the best of God's people may go through the very deepest trouble. You think you have trouble down here? Right down here in River City? Yeah, we got trouble right down here in River City. All kinds of trouble. And then to add to that trouble, someone will waltz in and say, well, you know what you should do? You should do this, and you should do that, and you should do that, and you should correct this, and you should do that, and they're not involved. How many of you hearing this message today? And also, this may not only be very deep, but very frequent. So it was with Asaph. Night and day, he said he had trouble. 40 days and nights, his soul felt no rest. No wonder if you sometimes fall into the very same condition yourself. I pray you don't. But if you do, don't wipe out and condemn yourself. How about Job's holy friends? Here he is on a dunghill scraping all these scabs and boils and sores. His friends say something like this: you must be a hypocrite, else this had never happened to you. Mm-hmm. And they shake their heads at each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you must have done some kind of real bad sin. And that's what the devil will tell you. Another fine mess you've gotten yourself into. I mean, if you're sitting on a dunghill with deep trials too, I'm afraid many of your Christian friends will say the very same thing about you. If you're out on a limb, look back. There might be one back there. Huh? And then you look back at them, and they're sawing away, and they smile and put the saw behind their back. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So glad I'm saved. Better praise God, for lightning hits that tree and you go down yourself. However, I think that's very ungenerous and unchristian-like if they do. Worst of all, you may think the very same thing yourself. Well, maybe I am a hypocrite. Maybe I don't believe the way I should. Maybe I really don't believe the Bible. Maybe I've caused this thing myself. What'd I do? Maybe they're right. You ever feel that way? You may even cry out to God, "What's wrong with me?" But let my warning today keep you from such temptation. This is no evidence whatsoever that God has no love for you. The Bible says He chastens those that He loves. And I hear someone saying, "He must really love me." Some of them are self-generated, however. The Bible says, "Our Lord was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." See, God's love goes beyond feelings, and God's love goes beyond sin. In fact, right in the middle of your sin, if you can love yourself, that's how God loves you. You're always in the middle of sin. Did you know that? You're in a sinful body. Oh, it wants to break out of there. Oh, go. Ooh, it wants to get out, huh? Waiting for an excuse to get out. You might be at work and you're getting this part already, and someone, Christians have been so mean to you and so on like that. And then you're just sitting there and all of a sudden you figure, sin. I'm going to sin. I'm going to sin. I'm going to sin. And you're making these parts away, huh? Tonight's the night, huh? Well, it's always there, isn't it? Well, not with me. I passed that. How many know what I'm talking? Is this strange? This has never happened to anybody, has it? No, of course not. No. All you people are, no, all you listening on the radio, this, and you legalists. Oh, no, this has never happened to you. Listen, legalists, when you finally go off of the deep end, you will go all the way. It's like mother saying, "Keep out of the cookie jar." You got to remember, legalists, that it is the grace of God that keeps you. Not your good works. Not how much influence you can throw around. Not how you look. Says in the Bible that Jesus was a man of no reputation. He'd lose it every other day. We're so worried about our reputations, aren't we? What do people think of me? I'm really past that. Well, not altogether. Don't start throwing stones right now, please. You see, because God's love goes beyond understanding. The Bible says, "Lean ye not upon your own understanding." And so I think some of God's best servants have been in this deep, deep depression for long periods of time. And a lot of times, in this condition, they refuse to be comforted. And listen, preachers on the radio, I don't care if you're here in New York City or where these tapes will go, into Africa or wherever. You listening on a radio, you here today, sometimes the more you've been into God, the more that people know you, the harder it is for you to go ahead and admit that you have any kind of depression. And in this Christian world today, the way it is with all these little pamphlets on faith and how to walk in faith and how to do this and this and that, you daren't say a word because, see, it wouldn't be a positive confession. Well, can't you positively feel awful? Isn't that positive? Oh, no, but never confess it. Claim it away. Say it isn't so. Ooh, say it isn't so. People all around us, say the devil's found us. Say it isn't so. Huh? You say it isn't so all you want to. It's still there. You read the second verse and it says, my soul refused to be comforted. Refused. Shut up, I don't want to hear any more scripture. Shut up, I know all that. I know all that. I know, I don't want to hear no more. As though he had put away everything, this psalmist, that could possibly ever cheer him. Here we have a psalm writer, a cheer-upper. And says, I don't care what I've written, it's not for me. Isn't this so, you advanced Christians that are listening? You've advanced so far that you leave the simple gospel message. That you leave the message of tribulation, suffering, being hated in the house of your friends, suffering for the joy that is before you. So advanced, you're way beyond that. You're beyond God. You're beyond Jesus. He was a man acquainted with grief. A man of many sorrows. But you've advanced way beyond that. You know all the 7,000 plus promises presented to you. And you're saying right now, they're not for me. The very sermon that comforted you, the very scripture that gave you comfort, torments you. Right there, right upon your bed, because now you can't receive it. Someone comes with their Bible and gives a scripture. Well, it says so and so and so and so. Then you just sit there sort of mute. Because you've been through so many things, you don't want to hear no more nothing. You ever try to talk common sense to your kids? Huh? Well, what did I tell you? Didn't I tell you if you played with matches, you would burn your fingers? You pretty near burned your whole arm off. He's in the hospital with his arm up in the air with all these bandages on it. Kid don't want to hear that. He already knows that, but he doesn't want to hear that. See, the promises are for you, but you can't take them. Now, this is not all bad, but some carry it too far. Not until Jesus speaks to me, not until thunder cracks, will I have peace. But don't you see right there, you legalize it. You probably couldn't receive it no matter which way it came from God. Now you start to condemn yourself. Well, here I was, man. I was preaching, I was doing this, I was doing that, So now you start to condemn yourself. Gee, I was going along so good, and I was going along so heavy and everything, you know, and I got a hold of this young man called me up, and I think this is a problem with a lot of guys. And I got a hold of this book, and it was a dirty book, and I didn't want to look at it, and I looked at the whole thing. Huh? So I said, you're a sinner. What'd you learn by that? Did looking at that dirty book make you happy? Did masturbation make you happy? Too plain, too simple, too bold? No. Well, it says the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh, don't turn the radio off. Boy, it's getting real quiet. See, you make yourself sick. You sin now, doubly sin by condemning yourself. And now the accuser comes along. I didn't come to condemn you. And so now you start to lose confidence in yourself and friends. Everybody is your enemy. You don't like yourself, why should anybody else like me? Isn't that the devil? When you look in the mirror and you say, you are despicable. You stink. God don't love you. Mom don't love you. Dad don't love you. Nobody loves you. And so somebody calls you on the phone, you can't believe it. You can't receive it, especially when you're high in God. You preachers out there that have been high in God. And something happened. See, now you just totally turn off to God and everybody else. Isn't that a lie from the pits of hell?
There you have it, part one, Cry Out for Deliverance. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion, part two. Have a great weekend. That last minute shopping, why rush?
You got to move. Oh, when the law.